right, let's take the Word of God tonight and turn with me, please, to the book of Ephesians. And we turn tonight to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, we spent about 7 weeks there in Ephesians chapter 1. I do not plan on spending that much time in Ephesians chapter 2. We'll see how that plays out, but there was just so much in Ephesians chapter number 1 that we just had to spend the time there in order to fully understand what the Apostle Paul was writing to the church of Ephesus. Tonight we move to Ephesians chapter 2. We're in our study through the book of Ephesians that we have called Inside Out, Becoming Who We Are. In chapter 1, we learned a lot. We labeled it. We identified the chapter as this: I am blessed. Now, we went on to find that we are blessed because we are called, because we are changed, because we are confident, because we are complete, because we are certain. And last week, we found that we are blessed because we are capable. And in Christ, we said we're capable of communion. We're capable of compassion. We're capable of cheerfulness. And we're capable of Christ-likeness. All of these things have become a reality in knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior. Tonight, we move to Ephesians chapter 2 and begin our reading in verse number 1. The Bible says this: "And you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God," you ought to mark that, "but God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace and His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Wherefore, remember that ye being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision, by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope, and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off, are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For He is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in His flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in Himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that He might reconcile both unto God in one body, and by the cross having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through Him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints, and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building, fitly framed together, groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit." If you're in the habit of marking things in the Word of God, I want to draw your attention to what I believe is the key verse of Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 13. where the Bible says this, "But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ." Now I'm going to give you the title of these thoughts here tonight, but you will not understand the title tonight. We'll have to lay some groundwork before the title will fully make sense. But the title of tonight's thought, and the next few that we'll look at here in Ephesians chapter 2, is simply this: I'm different now, I think. I'm different now, I think. And again, that title will make sense, but we got to lay some groundwork before that title makes sense. All right? Everybody with me? Very good. All right. When we look at Ephesians chapter 2, we labeled chapter 1 as this: I am blessed. But chapter 2, we want to identify and label as this: I am broken. I am broken. Now, wait a second, preacher. I thought we were complete. The answer is absolutely. In Christ, I am complete. But you just said, and you just labeled Ephesians chapter 2 as, I am broken. Yes, we did. So, preacher, which one is it? Am I blessed or am I broken? And the answer is yes. Yes, you're both. Now, again, we'll get to the explanation, but tonight let's lay some groundwork. Here, when we enter Ephesians chapter 2, the Apostle Paul is going to begin to contrast who we were and who we are. In Christ, as we've said, there's something is new that has taken place on the inside. And now what the Holy Spirit is attempting to do is to take what has been done on the inside of us and bring it to where it is noticeable on the outside. Somebody has given this definition of a broken life. They said this: brokenness occurs when we try to live life on our terms and come up empty. You ever had something that wasn't working just right? Yeah, it wasn't not working, but it wasn't working like it should. And then here's what we do, especially if you're a man. You say this: I can fix that, right? And so we begin to dig in and we begin to take parts off and we begin to look at what is taking place, and all of a sudden we get everything put back together, and what happens? It don't work. All of a sudden you've gone from something that sort of kind of maybe works to something that won't even start anymore. And so what we really did was broke something that really wasn't broke to begin with. And that's what the Apostle Paul is trying to say here. When man was created whole. He was created with the ability to function inside of the purpose for which he was created. But there was something by man's choice, by man's decision, that brought brokenness into man's life. And we call that a small three-letter word, sin. Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." Romans 5:12, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." 1 John 3:4, "Whosoever committeth sin transgresseth also the law, for sin is the transgression of the law." Now I say tonight that every one of us in this room tonight, because of what Adam and Eve did in the garden, experienced brokenness because of sin that is now inside our flesh. So Paul has just went and tried to glorify God in his limited vocabulary and in his limited understanding of this great salvation that God gives us. He's going to label it our great salvation. May I say tonight, salvation is great, isn't it? Yeah, it sure is. Every day we learn more and we understand more about what God did when He saved us. But may I say this, sometimes we begin to understand the fact that we know in Christ we're different, but we're not always behaving differently. Are you with me? It seems like some of the things that we used to do are still impacting who we are today. Some of the same desires, some of the same temptations and shortcomings and failures, it seems like they're still there. Preacher, is this normal? Well, we have to understand what has taken place. And so Paul is really going to divide Ephesians chapter 2 up into three different categories. We'll consider the first one tonight. Notice here in verses 1 through 3. "And you have He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past He walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." Paul says this, I want to highlight your past condition. He says this, there was something true about you before you got saved. That's what he's highlighting here. What is Paul going to say? Well, number one, when he begins to look at our past condition, he says this, that we were dead. That we were dead. Look at it in verse number one. "And you hath He quickened," or brought back to life, we'll get there in another thought, "who were," what? "Dead in trespasses and sin." Now wait a second, preacher. Before salvation, I was breathing. Yeah. But preacher, you're saying that Paul is saying that before I was saved, I was dead. Yeah. Okay, well, preacher, help me understand what this word dead means, okay? You want to know what this word dead here means? It literally means a corpse. But preacher, I was alive. There was blood flowing through my veins. I was alive. Yes, but you were dead. Preacher, how do you understand that? Because death in itself is this. It is to be separate from. It has the idea of being devoid of all spiritual life. When you look at a person who has died, is that body able to relate or able to respond to what we call the physical world? The answer is no. There is no life in it. There is no ability to. It is limited. It cannot respond to what is happening in this life. Here's what Paul is saying. Before you were saved, you were dead spiritually. You had no ability to respond to anything spiritual. That's why a lost person can't understand the things of God. That's why the Bible doesn't make any sense to them. Isaiah chapter 59 and verse number 2 puts it this way. "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear you." Jesus said in John 6:44, "No man can come to Me except the Father which hath sent Me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." John 6:65, "And He said, therefore said I unto you, that no man can come unto Me except it were given unto him of My Father." Preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying before salvation, there was no way possible for you to relate or respond to that which was spiritual. There's only one thing you can respond to. You say, preacher, what is that? Salvation. when the Holy Spirit of God began to draw your heart, began to pull you back to Jesus Christ, when He began to convict you of your sin, the only thing you could do in the area of spirituality is say this: I'm a lost, sinful person in need of a Savior, and I can't be that Savior, but Jesus is that Savior, and now I'm putting my faith in Jesus. And all of a sudden, at the moment of faith, you have the ability of going from being dead to everything spiritual to being alive to everything spiritual. Notice the Bible says here in verse number 1, who were dead in trespasses and in sins. The word trespasses there literally means this. It means to do something wrong against someone, to be a fault or to be in error. It has the idea of standing against, to stand against God and to break God's law. Now I say, when you're born into this light, you're born into sin. And it doesn't take long for you to begin to go contrary to how God truly designed mankind to live. I don't have to teach my children to lie. I don't have to teach my children to do wrong. I have to teach them and train them to do right. Why? Because as Jeremiah said, in sin did my mother conceive me. The word sin there means to miss the mark. When we were born into this life, we were born dead spiritually. And before salvation, though we may have facts, though we may have information, the spiritual world, the spiritual realm is not impacting our life at all. We were dead. Our past condition. Notice here in verse number 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Not only before salvation were we dead, but before salvation we were deceived. Preacher, what do you mean? I mean this. You thought the way you were going was right. You had been convinced that how you were living was what you were meant to do. Only problem with that. 1 John 5:19 says this, the whole world lieth in darkness. Every man, back in the book of Judges, you'll find this, did right in their own eyes. You know what happened? It was only evil continually. Well, the Bible says. Why? Because we were deceived. What was happening? Well, if you look here in verse number 2, it says, where in time past ye walked according to the course of this world. You see, before salvation, we were deceived into making progress on the wrong path. On the wrong path. We were not progressing in a way that was pushing us closer to the purpose for which we were designed. We were progressing in a way that allowed strongholds to be developed in our life. That's why Paul tells us that we're to use the Word of God to the pulling down of strongholds. And so the whole time, from the moment you were born to the moment you were saved, the devil was putting you and pointing you down a path, and you blindly were following. The Bible tells us that everyone is going away. They've all done their own thing, and we're all sinners. Notice we find here progression in the wrong path. When you were born into sin. And everybody that is born into sin always does the exact same thing. They begin to adopt the ways of the wicked world. Now, some to various degrees than others. Now, I say this, you might not have been the world's worst person before you got saved. But can I say this? You weren't the world's best person either. You say, why? Because sin had impacted you to some degree, to some level. Now, you may be on the other spectrum. You may say, preacher, you have no idea who I was before I got saved. I wasn't a good person, all right? Let's say that. What does that mean? That means you got barriers in your life just like other people have in their life. You were progressing, you were making progress, but it was in the wrong direction. You were going down the wrong path, and as you made your way down that path, it allowed certain issues to be built in your life, get this, that will impact you in the days ahead. Not only were you progressing on the wrong path, but look at verse number 2. Wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, that spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Listen to me. You were heading and progressing on the wrong path, and you were doing so because you were pursuing the wrong person. The Bible labels those who are not Christians children of the devil. Who's the prince of the power of the air? It is Satan himself. And while you and I, before we were saved, we thought we were in control of our own lives. We thought we were making our own decisions. We were being our own man is what we thought. If we could pull back the scene, if we could look back at the big picture, here's what we would find. The enemy, our deceiver, the liar, the slanderer, he began to take and snily and secretively, he began to put temptations in our path that he knew would draw at the desires of our flesh and begin to take us down a path of sinfulness and destruction. Notice it says here, it says the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. What does that word worketh have in mind? It has the idea of an ongoing work. When you look at the world today, you know what you'll find? You'll find that things aren't getting better. As a whole, people aren't getting better. As a matter of fact, Paul tells Timothy that they're waxing worse and worse. Why? Because they're making progress on a path that has put them in the pursuit of their own person, and the devil never, ever stops his work. I was sent a video here this afternoon. Brother Greg, you sent it to me. That in California right now, they're trying to pass a law that would really ban the Bible because it's not politically correct. Listen, things are not getting better because we're deceived. Before salvation, we find that we were dead. We find that we were deceived. James 1:14 says this, but every man, not just some, but every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That word conceive there, it literally means this, to seize control of, to make as one's prisoner. That's what the devil's trying to do. He wants to pull on the desires of your flesh to create that lust, because he knows when he's got your lust, when he's got your desires, he has you. So before salvation, you were dead. Before salvation, you were deceived. Notice the last portion of verse number 2. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. You know what you were? You were disobedient. Again, we mentioned this earlier. My children are very good at being disobedient. Even little, cute, precious Hannah. I mean, we were getting up this morning. We were getting ready for church, and I had gotten her breakfast ready, and her breakfast was on the table. And I looked at her, and she was down in the floor playing. And I said, Hannah, come take a bite. She looked at me and said, no. I said, Hannah, you get over here and you come take a bite. She said, no. I said, Hannah, do you want to get in trouble? No.
Well, you better get over here and take a bite. No! Down the hall she went. That's natural. Why? Because she naturally, because of sin, wants to rebel against truth. Isaiah 53:6. Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Why am I having to go daily and wrap and put medicine on her hand? Because she was disobedient. She ran over and she grabbed the iron. Listen, when you are born, you learn the principle and you become a habitual disobedient person, and that carries on through your life unless you begin to take a stand and say, you know what, from this point forward, I don't want to be that kind of person anymore. Paul says, before you were saved, this is who you were. You were dead. You were separated from all things spiritual. You were deceived, and as you were deceived, you were making progress down the wrong path in pursuit of the wrong person. And these barriers, these strongholds were being created in your life, and these barriers were pushing you further and further into the area of disobedience. Then stop there. Verse number 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. You see, we really move beyond the idea of being disobedient to being a person who was defiled. Now, the word defiled just simply means this, to make unclean with something that is unpleasant or something that is contaminated. It means to violate the sanctity of or to dishonor. So what is Paul saying? Paul's saying this, when you were born in sin, because you were going the wrong direction, pursuing the wrong person, and you were practicing and living a life of disobedience, here's what you were literally doing. You were taking the body, a gift that God had given you, and you were contaminating it with that that violated or dishonored God. So, preacher, what are you talking about? I'm talking about wrong appetites. That's why you want to do wrong things. I'm talking wrong attitudes. That's why we shirk our shoulders. And I don't want to do that. You can't make me do that. Have them do that. You don't like me. You don't care for me. You hate me. You know what that is? It's a bad attitude. Fine, I'll do it. It's a bad attitude. And we learn that from early on up. You know what happens if we're not careful? That's how we begin to respond to God when God asks us to do something. Really, Lord? I don't like that. I don't want to do that. Me? Why can't you have somebody else? Fine, if you're going to make me, I'll do it. He said, preacher, I would never say those things. No, but in your response, that's exactly what you're doing. Where did that come from? It's not your new nature in Christ. All of that was beginning and being put in place prior to your salvation. We took what God had given us that was meant for good. You say, wait a second, preacher, my body was meant for good? Absolutely. When God spoke the world into existence, He created man. He put man into the Garden of Eden. The Bible says that he looked and he saw that it was very good. That's what the Bible says. So this body was meant for good. But because I was heading the wrong direction, I began to put inside of it the things that causes it to be dishonorable to God. Wrong appetites. Wrong attitudes. Both of which lead to wrong actions. Ephesians 4:22. You could turn over a page and look at it. That ye put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is what? Which is corrupt. according to the deceitful lusts. He's saying that old man is corrupt. That word corrupt literally has the idea of a corpse, a dead body that has been left out in the hot sun to rot. That's the idea. It ain't going to get any better. It's only going to get worse. And Paul is going to say you need to get rid of these things because they have impacted you, they have defiled you, and it dishonors God. John Phillips puts it this way. Fallen human nature gravitates to low things, to gross lusts of the body and contaminating lusts of the mind. Many may seek to disguise the depravity by culture and refinement, but underneath these lusts burn like a seething volcano that from time to time erupts to his sorrow and shame. You ever had something in your life that you knew were wrong, you knew it wasn't right, but you had kept it contained, at least as far as you thought you had? And then all of a sudden, may it be through a series of unfortunate events or a series of problems or struggles or pain, and all of a sudden what was taking place on the inside is squeezed and pressed outside. You got to the point where you were like, oh, man, I really didn't want to do that. What's Paul saying? Paul's saying the same principle that the Holy Spirit is trying to bring outside of you. What God has already done on the inside is what's been taking place all in your life. The devil's been trying to condition you. The devil's been trying to train you. The devil's been trying to fill you with all of these appetites and ideas and attitudes so that the actions of your life does not please God. Because he understands that you can't please God aside from faith. He said, before salvation, you were dead. Before salvation, you were deceived. Before salvation, you were disobedient. You were defiled. But notice here in verse number 3, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath. Even as others. Richard, what's he mean there? Before salvation, you were doomed. Simple as that. As a sinner, you stood in condemnation before a just and holy God. And unless something happened, Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. 2 Thessalonians 1:7, and to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. Psalm 9:17, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God. But you know what he is saying? I'm saying before salvation, there was a whole lot of groundwork that was being laid in your life. And I want you to notice those two words that I had you circle at the beginning of the message. Verse number 4, but God. But God. You see, it's as far as we're going to get tonight, but I want you to understand this. Paul says, in order for you to understand what I'm getting ready to explain to you, you need to understand what impact and what influence sin has already had in your life. Because until you understand that, it's hard to really comprehend what now is taking place as the Spirit of God inside of you tries to work Himself outside of you and transform you into the image of the precious Son, Jesus Christ. I'm different now, I think. The truth is, in Christ, we are. But sometimes, we don't feel like we are. We'll get to that next time.